everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and to my right, yeah, your if you're looking at me, it's the left, but it's my right. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
That's so good for an audio show.
I know.
Talking about where people are placed.
I mean, it's not strictly an audio show, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Yeah, watch it live.
They could.
YouTube.com/dualscreenstv.
I totally could. I'm doing okay today. It's going to be a good show.
That's good.
I
have good energy
today. It's going to be a great show.
I feel good energy in the room today.
It's in my loins. I feel the burn.
You feel it in your loins.
It's going to be an amazing show.
Andy, apparently you have the biggest poll. On my other side is Taylor Allen. Welcome back to the show, Taylor.
I'm back.
He's here.
The stories of my death were much exaggerated.
Much exaggerated. Just like this show is exaggerated in its content. Ladies and gentlemen.
Not that great.
No. This is Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news show starring three people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean, and of course, on Spotify, our iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Rebel FM, I think, right? Is that a thing? I don't know. It's on all sorts of shit. I don't think it's Rebel FM. I think that's a different network. Anyway, but I digress. And you can watch the video on demand one day after the live recording. You can watch that on youtube.com/dualscreenstv and the live recording every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Now, with that being said, I want to tell you guys, our new Patreon, since we relaunched, has been incredible. The support you guys have shown us, raising your tiers, getting your friends to join for all of the bonus content, it's been awesome to see the support, and we want to thank each and every one of you, but especially our Patreon producers, Vegas Girl on Fire, FNH Paul, and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So if you want to support us and all of our bonus content and get your hands on all sorts of stuff, please go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Now, with that said, let's dive right into the show with everybody's favorite current t-shirt that you could get on dualscreens.com/store. The Adventures in Gaming. Taylor, what have you been playing?
I have been playing some old stuff that I won't get too into. Overwatch. It's really good. I love Overwatch a lot. But the new thing that I've been playing that I'm super excited about and in love with is Loop Hero. Came out a couple weeks ago. Just jumping on the train. I've been watching some friends play it on Twitch, and this game is fucking cool. You know, I love my roguelikes. It's procedurally generated loop that you keep running around. You fight monsters, but you don't have any direct control over your movement or combat. You just like equip your character with stuff and place tiles to get resources and spawn enemies and increase your health regeneration and stuff. It's so much fun. Just the nerdiest shit ever, and I absolutely love it. But I'm gonna have a bunch of other new stuff to play, because today, like 3 hours ago, I got my hands on a PlayStation 5.
Oh, there it is.
Yep. It's happened, ladies and gentlemen.
There
welcome to the family.
That's
welcome to the family.
How's it feel?
Yeah, how does it feel?
The controller feels really good. It is still transferring data as we speak. So
nice.
I have not played a single thing on it. But
that's okay.
It looks real cool. It's almost as tall as my PC. I have it set up right next to my PC, and shocking how tall that thing is.
All right. So let's get the obvious question out of the way then.
Yeah.
What are you playing first?
Oh, yeah.
I would like my first game to be Demon's Souls, but I haven't decided yet. Miles Morales. Might be Astro's yes. Playroom thing.
That's the one, Taylor.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay.
Trust Miles me. Morales was my one. That was the first one I played.
Who knows? Maybe I'll just go back and play Bloodborne.
Or you can go back again. And just play Apex Legends.
Why even have a PS5?
True.
And we don't have to use Discord anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, I still don't have a capture card. Is the problem. So
yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
You get all your skins now, though.
Yeah, but now I have skins on, like, I'm probably a higher level now on PC than I
semantics,
am on
semantics. Andy, what have you been playing?
Ooh, that is a great question that I get asked every single week.
Yeah, it's
I
not like been... you were unprepared for it.
No, not at all. I am severely balls heavily deep in Bravely Default 2.
Nice.
Oh, good Lord. I am 28 hours into the main game. Still in chapter one. I'm not sure when that ends. just keeps going on. I'm like 10 jobs deep. I'm like, when does the first chapter end? I have like almost all the jobs now.
End tutorial. Welcome to the game, Andy.
Yeah. Like the intro, like title roll came like 8 hours in. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That finally showed up. But it's so much fun, and guys, there is a game within the game. There is a card game.
Oh, there, Dave, that's it. That's how they
and I'm just like playing asshole, stealing their cards, being a total boss at it.
That's the one where like they have like a little pattern, and when you put the card on, it takes over just that pattern on the screen.
So it's red and blue. Like blue is you, red's the enemy, and it's like some. It's called Bind and Divide. You have to like take over cards. There's like beast cards, and there's like character cards. It's totally fucked and amazing, and I love it so much.
It reminds me of the Final Fantasy VIII game a little bit with the numbers and the arrows and like
taking
over the cards next to it and so like trying good. To.
I love that game.
I loved it too.
That should be an app. I'm just saying. So played a lot of that, and I played a wee bit slash a lot of bit of Katana Zero, which I am very much in love with, and I want to talk about. But that's gonna be for G-Pop later on tonight.
Dirty Pop.
And
fucking cool.
Lastly, I played some NES shit. I played a new NES game called Slow Mole. Some homebrew shit.
Nice.
It's about a mole that goes from screen to screen and avoids like ants and spikes and pitfalls and shit. And it's got a funky ass soundtrack and future guest on the show. That's all I'm going to say. It's out now in beta. Just do search for a slow mole game and you'll find it. And I'll, or I could just drop in the chat as we speak. That's helpful. So yeah, that's what I've been doing lately.
I, for whatever reason, was avoiding this game mode for a long time, and then I finally got a taste of it on Saturday, and I really like it. And it's the Call of Duty Zombies mode for Black Ops. And it's way different than what I remember Zombies being, at least the mission I did, because I think it was a newer mission. It was more open world. And it was about, it really felt like Call of Duty meets Far Cry in the way that you could just like go around and just shoot things. Obviously it's not like you don't pick up side missions and stuff. Like you have you have to get from point A to point B, survive, hold it down. And then you could kind of like gamble and like, hey, you can get out now, take what you have, or you could go on to another mission. You know, don't evac just yet. Take on another mission and get better loot and, you know, better rewards and more XP and stuff like that. It's a very easy way to get experience and level up like your battle pass and stuff like that too, which I really appreciate. But like, it's a lot of fun and I want to play it with friends now. So I'm excited for that. What else? I played more Rage 2 to get ready for G-Pop. So you hear all about that. I finally finished the framing. The entire exterior and all of the rooms, the sizing, everything, all of the construction is completed on my parents' house in The Sims 4.
I was waiting for it to go there.
Okay, it's done. I have to redo the backyard because I had to resize some things, so I'm now messing with the backyard. And then I'm going to start decorating. Only then will my Sim move into the house. As of right now, he's just standing outside while months have gone by building this house. He's just standing there looking at it as the game is paused. But that, honestly, I only bought The Sims so I could build houses. So like, I don't even think I'm going to care about what this guy does anyway.
Yeah, he's going to have a dope ass house. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah. He's just going to have
that's his life.
That dope ass red house the only red house on the block, and you'll have some fun with it.
Right.
Playing some Apex. I'm very far behind in the battle pass, so I think I need to really plug away at that this week. Kind of upset about that. I don't know how that happened, because we were playing it like nonstop when the season first started, and then all of a sudden it just kind of petered out for us. I think it's because I started getting into Warzone a little more.
I was going to say, it petered out for you. I'm level like 68. I'm doing very well.
You're one away from it mattering, friend. One away from that mattering. All right, guys, let's get into the indie news update. All right, Andy, so take us into the indie news update because this is relevant to my interests.
Oh, yes. Danger Scavenger, which released in early access on Steam last June, is coming to Switch this March 25th for release. And guys, this game belongs on your radar. It is a cyberpunk-themed, roguelike, co-op, twin-stick shooter. And it's rad as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to check it out. These are friends of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed them back, I think, at last year's PAX East.
It was PAX East, the last one we went to.
Yeah, maybe last year.
It was the one we went to. It was all the Polish devs.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I did a first play for that. I either did a first play or I just streamed for it. I don't know if one or the other.
One of the two.
It's a lot of fun. It's the thing that's unique about it is you choose the path you choose for. So basically what happens is you're going up a tower. You're trying to make it to the top of the tower and then to get to the next tower. And as you're beating all these bosses, like if you choose, you'll have two doors to choose from, grenades or snipers. So if you go through grenades, the enemies will have bombs. They'll have nades and they'll be throwing them at you and you're diving and whatever, weaving. Then the next one will be mini boss and lasers. So then you pick lasers. So then you go into the lasers and you're getting, and all the while you're getting equipment and stuff to make your character a little bit more badass. But when you get to the boss, all of the levels you chose, the boss gets all of those abilities implemented. So you wind up fighting a grenade boss with lasers, and you know, if you pick like I don't know, there's a couple of other ones like whatever, landmines, trip mines, I think. So that'll be their abilities that you're trying to fight against. So it's a lot of fun. It's really cool. It's got a lot of character. It's been polished a lot since it's I think it's was in early access for a while. I think when I played it, I think it was still in early access. I don't know if it still is, but I assume it's not since it's coming to Switch. But it did get a lot of polish since then. I jump into it every now and again. It's definitely something you should keep on your radar if you like that kind of experience. It's very arcadey, but a lot of fun. All right, so let's now get into the Dual Screens report. And we are going to start with something that PlayStation came out with today on their blog, which was really interesting and somehow met with some negative feelings and
scorn and derision.
Yeah, it's weird.
Are the words you're looking for?
Yeah, I don't know. So the headline here was introducing Haven, a new Montreal-based independent studio. Okay, so again, this is on the PlayStation blog announcing an independent studio. And the new studio is founded by Jade Raymond and working on an unannounced new IP for PlayStation. Okay, so this is very similar to your Housemarque relationship or your Insomniac before that. So like fostering second party devs. But essentially, this is a great partnership, a great developer here in Jade Raymond. A lot of pedigree there. So we don't know when this game will come out. They obviously have not announced what the game is. Some say, oh, this is going to be years and years away because the studio just formed, but that's not always the case. A lot of times small groups, especially if there's a big creative behind it, will be working on something for a little while and then they start the studio after they get the contract from, a publisher, then they'll like officially say, oh yeah, we're a studio, blah, blah, blah. So who knows what's been going on in the background, on this thing, but, this is interesting. This is interesting.
I'm just wondering how many lives does Jade Raymond have? Because she bounces back very quickly. She went from like losing her Stadia job to like, it hasn't been even a month since that whole implosion happened. Now she has a new studio. It's like, oh, that was it like a backup plan?
I wonder if
I was her and it was a Stadia gig. Like, you know what, Stadia? Contingency. Got to line that up at some point because this may not work out. because it's fucking Stadia.
But, I'm sure somebody that's been in the business as long as Jade has, like, the writing was probably on the wall for months and months.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe because Google canceled everything, maybe they don't even own the IP to whatever they were making, you know, like, true. Or those studios. Maybe this is one of those IP that they're like, hey, we worked on this. And maybe PlayStation goes, okay, change the, you know, character and the name and whatever. And the source code's yours,
Do you think we'll see what this is? Is my
question. I think it's a ways out.
Yeah.
Like a long ways out. It wouldn't surprise me if this game didn't come out in the next four years.
I think we see a cinematic trailer at the Game Awards.
This year?
Just like a cinematic teaser. That's the word I'm looking for.
I could get down with that.
Like a teaser shot of like the butt of a person, right, and like the gun and then the logo some VO.
Butt gun logo. That's like
butt gun logo. That's the title
for any trailer, any teaser trailer.
Yeah. That's what we got for Halo for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll work.
And then we got a great meme the year after that.
And then we got, what was his name? Chad? Was that his name?
Craig.
Craig.
I'm glad for her. This is fun that she's doing a thing now with Sony. And I'm trying to understand like why there is a lot of hate towards Jade. Like, she's been around for a very long time, has produced a lot of great games. You know, nothing about Assassin's Creed, but, you know, Splinter Cell Blacklist comes to mind immediately. She knows her shit when it comes to gaming, and she's in it. Like, she could have left years ago, but she's devoted to the industry. And her name has that cachet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering what this game is going to be. It's weird seeing this announcement with nothing really tangible to go along with it. But, you know, it's exciting times.
I think the biggest thing that I took from this announcement, mm-hmm. aside from the obvious things to get excited about, was that this wasn't PlayStation writing a blog post about this. This was Jade writing a blog post on PlayStation blog.
You know, that's how those all work, right? Mm. On the blog.
Either way, it's
always the developer putting up the blog post on their blog.
Not whenever they announce a game, like PlayStation doesn't always do that. Like
a lot of times it's like Sid Schumann or someone like writing it up.
Yeah, it'll, but like this was like, hey, I'm here, I'm working with Play, like that's how it was. It was more, yeah. it almost looked like we were looking at her, what the hell was it called? Her blog spot feed? Or something. Like, it was weird. It's like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, whatever. I guess that's cool. But that should be fun, and, you know, more games. Yay.
I don't know, something wild that I always forget. Mm-hmm. Jade Raymond, in 2008, was the managing director for Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots.
Whoa.
What?
See, I did not know that about her.
I totally forgot about that.
I don't know what to make of that now.
Yeah, right.
So I think all of you need to get off your hate of Metal Gear Solid 4 because that game is fantastic.
Sleep on that. No, great game, but Steven, come on.
The game is fantastic.
The game was all fanfare.
I don't care what it was. It was fantastic.
Logs on.
I don't care. I loved every second of it. That's all I wanted.
Meryl marries the poop guy. We're crying out loud.
The poop guy.
We fought a fat dude on roller skates. Like, I don't care that she married the poop guy. Okay.
The poop guy. That's all I'm going to say.
The poop guy is fine. Andy, what's happening with this 4K 60 frames per second nonsense?
Oh, yeah. So Ninja Gaiden Master Collection is coming officially on June 10th, and it will be in 4K and 60 FPS, courtesy of some leaked screenshots on the Microsoft Store. Mm-hmm. That's pretty rad. I get to, you know, yell at my TV and be mad in 4K and more FPS. That's great. But I wanted to pose a question to you both.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll get a new Ninja Gaiden game out of this collection? If the sales are strong enough, if the passion is there again, because I did some research, you guys, and let me throw some numbers at you. So Ninja Gaiden, collectively, as a franchise, has only sold about 7 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
That's across 15 games as of 2008.
Dating back to, like,
even the olden days.
Atari.
Yeah, it's across all them shits. So you can see with a game like Animal Crossing has just sold 7 million copies in the UK alone this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How that those are like rookie numbers for Ninja Gaiden. But I will say that Nioh and Nioh 2 have sold combined close to 5 million copies since that franchise was released. And I'm thinking, since, you know, we're living in a post Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Bloodborne era,
yeah,
people love harder games and they love a challenge. Mm-hmm. I think the time is right now to bring this franchise back in the spotlight. What do you think?
I agree. It's a shame that we haven't seen a game since Ninja Gaiden Black.
Mm-hmm.
Because those other ones don't count.
You weren't a fan of Part 3 there, Taylor?
No. That oh my god,
complete
no.
ass.
So bad. But yeah, I think the landscape in gaming now is
Dragon Sword totally... for the DS. You didn't jive with that?
I think the landscape is totally ripe for a new game in that series. And I think there's become like a cult following specifically for like the old Ninja Gaiden game. I've seen a lot of people playing that game on Twitch. Like, people love that game and they have fond memories of it, even if they didn't play it. Like, they know someone that played it or they watched someone play it or whatever. And I think this collection is going to be huge, and I am hopeful that if it sells well, they'll make a new one, because I think that world that they create in Black is just super, super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Down. Yeah, I think you guys nailed it on the head there. It's a different world now. These mm-hmm. games, like that, the thing that kind of Ninja Gaiden had going for it was blown out of the water and magnified by a million with Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. And Bloodborne came in and was like, see, it doesn't always have to be Dark Souls. And people were like, wait a minute, we could do this for other shit. And then they did it for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Ninja Gaiden coming back,
take
and
the
being,
shit that started this shit.
Take the shit that started that.
Right.
I'm going to throw my controller at my television,
yes,
and out the window and at my children. Take that formula. Take that speed. Because that's the thing that I remember most about Ninja Gaiden was the speed, the visceral speed of the game. Take that, but throw it in a Dark Souls type universe. And I think you have something that could be very, very magical, almost very Neo-esque.
Right.
As
and they've learned so much since Neo, this team. So you take all of that, you take all of that you learn across these two phenomenal games and plug that into Ninja Gaiden formula. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah. Totally. I'm totally with you on this one.
Yep.
Taylor.
Yep.
Talk to me. Tell me something about this whole golf thing.
Yeah. So... make me care about this piece of news today.
Okay. I don't know what I can tell you, Andy, that will make you interested in this. Our friends over at 2K have acquired the Golf Club and PGA Tour 2K21 studio by the name of, I forget, HB Studios. I was going to say HG. HB Studios. So they've been doing the Golf Club for a while now. People really love it. Super immersive sim golf game. They just got the PGA license last year and put out their first game under the PGA license, published by 2K, and now they have been acquired by 2K. I think this is a no-brainer. I was shocked to find out that they weren't under the 2K umbrella already.
Mm-hmm.
They've been publishing, 2K's been publishing their games for a long time now, so I think it made perfect sense. And... paired with this news, they announced that they are signing Tiger Woods to the brand. So PGA Tour 2K22 or 23, whatever, they usually put games out every 2 years, it seems like, this studio, but is going to have the Tiger Woods moniker, which is something we haven't seen since like 2013, 2012.
They got Tiger Wood.
They got Tiger Wood.
Throbbing Tiger Wood.
Mm. I mean, I'm glad to see that his darker days are behind him, I guess, and he's now marketable again, or at least sponsorable. that's nice to know. Now, you know, this current 2K game was kind of divisive in the fact that it was a good, competent golf game that a lot of people enjoyed, but also wasn't much different from apparently the Golf Club. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Maybe this will give them the opportunity to expand on it and not just, you know, because they're not going to be, you know, they're not trying to rebrand something. Now they can actually make it its own thing with a little extra, you know, push behind it and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe with Tiger Woods behind it and with 2K now having a much larger vested interest in the game's success, maybe that'll mean that the game's quality will rise a little bit. We can only hope.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Indeed. You know what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping to join three of my friends and adventure in Dungeons and Dragons, but not in the way you think. That's right, folks. A new Dungeons and Dragons game was announced today, coming in June. For the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 Entertainment Home Systems. June 22nd. Dark Alliance is the name of the game. And it brings Dungeons & Dragons to life in an explosive action RPG coming out June 22nd. Have you guys watched the trailer yet?
Yeah, I posted it on Discord. My original take was like Dark Alliance. It takes you back to the old Baldur's Gate games. I was like, oh yeah, that's like, I missed that title. Bring those games back. But we are, because we're getting a part 3. But then I watched the trailer. I was like, yeah, this looks hella cool, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This looks like...
it looks really damn good.
It looks like the new 2018 God of War. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2018 God of War multiplayer. That's what this looks like. Mm-hmm. So this is actually going to star some of R.A. Salvatore's better known characters in the was it Forgotten Realms? I forget.
Yeah,
which.
Yeah, Forgotten Realms.
This is the Forgotten Realms. Yeah. So I read one that starred Drizzt. It was one of his first books, which I believe he's like a drow elf or something like that. I don't know. It's been forever ago since I read this, but it's going to star four characters. You're not going to be able to make your own character, but you're actually going to be taking the role of one of these four characters, and you're just going to be searching for the Crystal Shard. But if you look at the gameplay, this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope it has the polish that it appears to have, and that it's not just very, very carefully selected. Obviously, it's very carefully selected, but you know what I mean. Because it almost kind of reminds me of Godfall a little bit as well. Like, really pretty and flashy and a lot of cool stuff happening.
This has soul to it, though, it looks like.
It looks like it. Now,
it's got some soul.
One of the things that I read about it was that it is going to be... there's going to be 50 abilities that each character is going to have, and you're going to unlock them as you go, but all of the abilities are equally as powerful. It's not like you get a fire thingy and then you get the bigger fire thingy. There's like the fire thingy, but then there's also like the fire trap, or there's like whatever, you know what I mean? Like that kind of example. And mixing and matching makes it so that there's a lot of depth there to your party and how you guys interact with each other. They said that this is going to be great for beginners because button mashers could have a blast, which is great because that's what you want in these types of games. But also that there's a lot of depth there because people who want to scratch beneath the surface will be able to do things like parry and dodge and do special attacks based on the parrying and dodging, combining your superpower moves, whatever, with your party members and stuff like that. One of the things I worry about is that, is this game built specifically for multiplayer, meaning... are there going to be really dumb as fuck AI people playing with you if you don't want to play online? Or is this an online only where if you don't have friends, or if you do have a friend, if you have only one friend, you're going to get randomly paired with two strangers? That I'm more interested in, because I kind of like the idea of just saying, hey, let's the three of us get together. And not worry about finding a fourth to play with us. Will we be able to do that? So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. I want to know more details about that. But more about the combat stuff. It says it right here. Our systems allow for button mashing to do to do just fine and see their hero mow down enemies in epic fashion. But for players who want a more refined experience, the control is there to do specific guard breaks, executions, team attacks, giving them a sense of depth to the system. So that's from their words. And it's June. Like, that's not that far away.
Right.
Three months away. So, right. Which, oh, my God.
I see that they removed
3 months away.
They removed local co-op from the launch for some reason. Because this game, they were like talking about it for a while, and that was part of the whole game plan. But now it's like, it's going to come, but it's not when the game is released. So I'm a scotch let down by that.
Yeah.
I mean, they say exploration is encouraged, which is nice to know. So you're not just going through levels and just kind of doing the thing. Mm-hmm. It kind of has a, you know, over the shoulder 3D action, mm-hmm. Diablo feel to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I'm excited for it. It's been a while since I've really fallen in love with a Dungeons and Dragons game. I think the last one was probably D&D Online, something River. I don't remember. It was like Riverdale, maybe. No, not Riverdale. River.
Isn't that the school?
Yeah, that's the school. Yeah, no, it was something like that. It was Jughead. That was one of the subtitles of the D&D Online. Speaking of games that are coming here, Andy, that we certainly do care about.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Hold on. I'll give you a minute.
Give me a second.
Gather yourself. Guys,
literally all the orgasms came at once. This is Friends of the show, Tribute Games, is teaming up with Dotemu to create my fantasy, my dream game, and I'm sure for Steven and others out there, Ninja Turtles,
yes,
Shredder's Revenge,
yes,
is a thing. Ah. It is born in the glory of the 90s TMNT cartoon show. And it takes all the great retro games, the arcade game, the NES classics, it takes all that good stuff, and now it's here. It's a new game, was announced. Dude, you guys, let's go over the features, shall we?
Please do. Please do.
Gnarly game design takes you back to the 80s.
Oh, God.
Beautiful full-color pixel art graphics. Mm-hmm. Old school gameplay enhanced with fresh mechanics. Mm-hmm. Up to 4 players simultaneously. Good God, yes. Play with iconic TMNT characters and vehicles in diverse gameplay options. And last but not least, a radical new story mode. Kawa fucking Bunga.
Dude,
this is like the best combination. Mm-hmm. You have the guys that did, who know sprites, that did games like Flinthook, Panzer Paladin, who have worked on Scott Pilgrim, the video game.
Also friends of the, well, yes. No wait, Dotemu was friends of the show.
Well, and Dotemu, yes, they're both friends of the show.
And Tribute. Oh, I'm all blurry.
Yes. And Dotemu, who recently gave us Streets of Rage 4, it's like, this is a match made in heaven.
Yes.
This, I can't even, I'm getting a little aroused. It just so, it
a all little?
All the boxes are being checked.
Andy, I want you to think
this
back.
This trailer, yes. Yes, Steven, yes.
Think back to when the Capcom collection came out.
Yes.
And I said, man, side-scrolling beat-em-ups
yeah.
are so much fun. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just make them all the time? And then they announced Streets of Rage 4, and we're like, why not do this all the time? There's no reason not to take these IP and just have a new game come out every year. And now here we are. Here we are, Andy.
Every time there's like, you know, a Blaster Master Zero comes out, they're up to 3 now or 4. I forget what number they're up to. They're up there.
0-3 was just announced.
Right. How are you not doing this? This already has like 2 million views on YouTube, on I think only on IGN's channel.
Mm-hmm.
People want this shit. They crave it. Now, Taylor, I want to hear your take because you weren't, I'm not sure how old you are.
You were basically a fetus when the Ninja Turtles
were
young
guy.
You know what I mean?
What did this do for you when you saw this trailer? Did
it almost make you? Nothing.
Oh,
almost
God.
Nothing.
Get out of the show.
You don't have a fucking soul.
How?
Here's the thing.
I can't even look at you right now.
The only thing I know.
I can't look at the screen. What's your defense is what I want to ask. As Steven goes to like, throw a pipe out through your window.
It was too old for my age. Like, I didn't go to arcades growing up.
I didn't want
to
forget my seltzer in the freezer.
So
Sorry. I forgot that I put a seltzer in
the freezer. Do you understand the magnitude of this? We have had some shitty shit TMNT games. Sure.
No, I get that. I get that. My question for you guys is,
yeah, go ahead,
are you concerned that there's going to be another, is it a dam level or a hydro plant? What the hell was that water level that everyone
But that was the
hated?
First no, game. No, that no, wasn't the arcade
game. We don't, yeah.
That was TMNT. That was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first game on NES.
That's before
that
it found its right. magic.
It had that game has genre. A ton of really great DNA in it. Like really, really, it's actually a really good game.
It is.
It's basically an open world Ninja Turtles game for NES. Mm-hmm. You could fight bosses in any order that you want, etc. It's really great. No, the arcade game, the Manhattan Project, Turtles in Time, the
Hyperstone Heist,
and there's mm-hmm. another one, Manhattan something. Not the Manhattan Project. There's another one. There was the Genesis one of the Manhattan
Heist,
Project,
which is
no, that was
essentially Turtles in Time.
That was Turtles in Time, but they also did right. that for Manhattan something. There was like two Manhattan games, but whatever. I digress. Doesn't matter.
This is here. This is real. This is the thing.
Those are the games that set the Ninja Turtle video game on fire. Like the you if there was a new Ninja Turtles beat 'em up game coming out back in those 90s mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. bought the fucking game. And then mm-hmm. when they said mm-hmm. oh, the Power Rangers are doing it, you're like, yes, the Power Rangers too, but those weren't as good. No. And then Ninja Turtles like, let's do 3D, and you're like, yeah, and you're like,
let's
oh.
do a fighting game, let's do a Smash clone.
Tournament Fighters was a Street Fighter clone,
right?
And very good. At least the SNES version,
not
yes.
the Nintendo version.
The Nintendo version was god awful.
A hot pile of ass. The yes. hottest pile of asses.
The
ever.
Biggest ass pile that you've right. ever seen. You would think mm-hmm. that the great massacre of the donkey
now,
earthquake
listen,
of 1963
listen,
would be the
I'm
biggest
all
pile
for
of ass.
A pile of
wasn't.
Hot asses, but not in this context. Right.
I do like it. I do like it. But no, I digress. Like if this means that these studios are going to be coming together and reviving these nostalgic IPs, like maybe they could do a Simpsons, you know, like
fucking Star Tropics, Nintendo.
All right, relax. We're talking about beat 'em ups.
Table.
We're talking about beat 'em ups here, but like you can do it. The you know the Simpsons beat 'em up,
X-Men arcade game,
X-Men arcade. You know, get a new X-Men game like that. We don't need these huge budgeted AAA games for these IP that we love. Like it's okay as long as you just do it well. Like you don't have to do something big and grandiose. You could do just do it well. Whatever you do, a good side-scrolling beat 'em up is still a good game. We learned that with Streets of Rage 4, which I still can't get past like the fourth level on. That game kicks the shit out of me, but I can recognize that it's a fantastic video game.
Yo, they should do a new Battletoads.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, that didn't go well. I mean, it's fine, but that didn't go splendidly. But like, look at Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
Scott Pilgrim. Look at Streets of Red. Streets of Rage right. too. Like that game right. is fantastic too. There was another one.
Because there's something to be said about these retro beat 'em ups that work so well, and you have two of the best studios to work on it mm-hmm. collaborating, and this is so exciting. Seeing like Splinter and April in the trailer doing shit. Like, are they in the game? Can I play as them in the game? I don't know. Maybe that could be a thing. You don't know. You don't fucking know. But yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for one segment.
I know. All the blood.
Yeah, the Kleenex.
I'm not gonna play it. Not gonna play
good.
It.
We don't need you.
We don't want your negativity on our video games anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
Go play more of
Go Overwatch. Play whatever comes to Game Pass next month. All right.
Oh,
how about that?
I fucking will.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Outriders is coming to Game Pass, actually. Very excited about that.
Go play that.
Yeah, go play that, you loser.
I fucking will.
It's not coming to PC, though.
You're right. Over on the Xbox blog, our good friend Major Nelson posted about the coming soons to Xbox Game Pass. Love Major Nelson.
Good friend of the show.
Including big news, Outriders launching day and date on console and cloud Game Pass. Not PC, mm-hmm. kind of a fuck up there in my opinion. But huge news. Game Pass is getting pretty big games from large publishers mm-hmm. launching day and date on their platform, which is everything we ever wanted PS Now to be. So I think it's super exciting, and getting a name like that from a partner like Square Enix is really cool. But in addition to that, they announced a bunch of new games that are going to be coming.
The best slate, I think, in a while.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a really good lineup. I was like generally excited about this one when I
saw it. So let me run you through these. I have played all but two or all but three of these, and there's some heaters here. Undertale, which I know people love Undertale. That's coming everywhere. Yakuza 6 going everywhere. Narita Boy, I'm not familiar with that one, going everywhere. Empire of Sin, which looks cool. Star Wars Squadrons, which came out within the last year, going to EA Play, meaning it's coming to console Game Pass as well.
Mm-hmm.
Huge one here. Octopath Traveler, coming to both console and PC. Mm-hmm. They didn't even announce that this was coming to Xbox, and they just drop it on Game Pass. Genesis Noir. Nier Automata is coming to PC. Torchlight 3 is coming to PC. Pillars of Eternity Deadfire Definitive Edition is coming to PC. And maybe one of the shittiest games I've ever seen in my life, Superland, is coming to PC.
Superland.
Wait. I need you to expound on that. Okay. Why is this one of the shittiest games you've ever seen?
Steve, you might remember this. A friend of ours, JD Neal.
Yep, that's the one I'm thinking
of. He was playing this game on his stream one day. You are like a little stick figure looking ass guy. It's the jankiest looking shit ever. It doesn't give you any instructions whatsoever. The game looks real stupid, but it's on Game Pass, so try it out for yourself.
I'm all about Jank, so I will definitely check that out.
It was the most frustrating thing to watch him play, because he was like, "What the fuck is going on in this game?"
Yep.
It looks like it was made by like six people in high school.
That's what it looked like.
Like it was, they did it on their free period at school for 4 years. All right. If that's not hype, I don't know what is, Andy.
Oh. You buckle up, buckaroos.
Oh, I'm buckled.
You know, this has been a show about excitement and arousal. And the climax is here in more ways than one. Okay. This comes courtesy of Polygon. I'm just going to read a few things to you both, and then we'll get some reactions. And we'll do a little bit of Q&A at the end.
Okay.
From Polygon.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Super Mario cum pipe was all over Twitter.
Okay. Is it time for questions yet? No.
No, not yet. Not yet. And so I read. It all started this morning when a meme called Everything Out of Context tweeted out a joke. Meme with Peach, Luigi, and Mario standing by three war pipes, each sporting a different color scheme, gold, white, and rainbow. The text on the image reads, "The time has come for you to choose the gay pipe, the piss pipe, or the cum pipe."
Uh-huh.
I see.
While the poster didn't create the original meme, which has been floating around the internet for a while now, that specific account did get it in front of many eyeballs this March, because the user decided to promote the tweet.
Oh, no.
Meaning someone paid for you to read the words cum pipe. Gentlemen, now, the meme aside, I have a few things I want to say. The fact that a headline exists with the word cum pipe in it on Polygon, that's the first thing I want to say. That someone actually paid to have the words cum pipe thrown at me. But the most disturbing fact of all here, and also at the same time disappointing, is if you were to search for the term cum pipe in your Google search engine,
please don't,
with the safety filter turned off,
the results
aren't even that bad. Phone, shut up. I wasn't talking to you. The results aren't even that bad.
No.
Okay. They're very, very tame. And that's the biggest letdown of all. Because when I search for the term cum pipe, I want to see some cum pipes. So, gents, I ask you, it is time to choose. And which pipe do you choose? They all seem pretty gay to me. The way you slice it, the gay, the piss, or the cum. So, I don't know where you'll fall in the category, okay, but I'm curious. I'm curious. Should we start a poll?
I'd probably go with the gay pipe. Yep. I think I'm going with the gay pipe.
100%.
I feel 100%. Like just a bunch of gay people coming down a pipe really is not very threatening to me.
Right, right.
Like,
but a bunch of piss and jizz, that's where you're
like, both can carry something that I don't want.
Then again, though, if it's the gay pipe, it's a bunch of, you know, homosexual men coming down the pipe and ladies. But, you know, gays are more for the men of that subset of people.
Sure.
It's going to be come at some point and lots of it. So realistically,
yeah, but it's not coming down a pipe and I'm not choosing that. I'm not choosing the gay pipe for the cum pipe. Like, you understand? Like, I'm making a calculated choice that what's going to come down that pipe.
You want the pipe. It's shooting out men, and it's like, oh, and that's fine. And move on. Just, you know, you're here.
See, yeah. I perceive this like you have to choose one to go down. So do I choose to land in a pool of cum, in a pool of piss, or in a pool of gay men? And I will take
it's the definitely pool of gay men. Definitely gay men. 100%. I mean, it's especially current gay men. What the gay men were doing back then, when things were getting a little weird. You know, with like Freddie Mercury and shit, maybe not that time because who knows what was happening over there. You
what
know,
does that even mean?
There was weird stuff happening. People were doing things without protection and it was a lot of scary stuff happening.
That is no
there.
Different today.
You never know. You might slide down and land on a pile of erect penis. That's all I'm saying. Oh, God. No. No. This show is awful. And thank you for that. I'm happy we're here.
I'm gonna.
But I do have questions. You said you're going to open this to Q&A.
Yeah, Q&A. Let's do it.
So you said that you were astounded that somebody paid to have the word cum pipe be promoted on Twitter, correct?
Well, in this context, yes.
Right. Is it more astounding that somebody paid to have that content, or is it more astounding that somebody paid for that content? Because Twitter took their money and gave it to a person to promote a cum pipe.
Well, wait, hold on a minute. That's fine. But someone on the Polygon staff said, here's my cum pipe article. Can someone approve this? They were like, oh yeah, just get it on there. It's totally.
Does anything at Polygon surprise us anymore though, Andy? Like, come on.
I don't know. It wasn't that slow of a news day, was it?
Speaking of a slow news day, let's get into the Facebook question of the week. While we kick it over to the chat. Chat, if you have anything that you want to horrifyingly say, please do. So the question of the week was, what is your favorite TMNT video game? This is, of course, coming because of the new TMNT game being announced. We have Turtles in Time on SNES from Michael with a reply from Matt, who says, friend of the show, Joe, says TMNT NES. So I'm assuming he means the first one. That's which exactly I know he's a big fan means. Of.
Yeah.
Thorne says Tournament Fighters, SNES specifically, Tournament Fighters. And then Matt Murray, missed enough, who just announced that he is expecting another child and also got a brand new job in the same day.
It's a lot for 1 week.
Like, congratulations, missed enough. Also, we love you.
You're fucked up.
You're a dumb idiot.
just kidding. Congratulations,
Matt. Congrats, buddy. Turtles in Time, he says, is probably my favorite. Turtles 3 on NES is probably what I've spent the most time with.
Oh, yeah.
For me, Turtles 3 is my favorite. I have such great memories because the arcade game ran so poorly on NES. Like, enemies would flicker like that and stuff. It just had really bad slowdown, especially in the first level and the surfing level.
Right, right.
But 3, I think they fixed a lot of that. And 3 had like the superpowers. Like, the each turtle had their own special move.
And you could throw.
Really cool.
You could throw enemies above you. Like, the little... That was pretty neat.
And that was really cool. And they used the same sprites as 2, really. Mm-hmm. But it had a really kick-ass soundtrack, too.
Oh, yeah. All those games did.
Taylor, do you have a favorite TMNT video game?
He doesn't. Nope. He's a heathen.
God, I hate you. God, I hate you today.
I question it.
Sorry.
Questioning so many things.
I grew up with a PS1. Get over it.
There were Ninja Turtle games on PS1.
He's like,
he's
like
not watching the Ninja Turtles like, with a PS1.
He's like, does Gex count or Croc?
Those are almost turtles. Those are almost turtles.
Yo, oh, Gex, yeah. Though.
Gex was so cool.
Gex is the shit. I want some, give me some more Gex.
Gex is dope.
Gex is fucking cool.
I love Gex.
We love Gex.
I miss that franchise.
What's
so
not to love
much.
About Gex, you know?
It's a wisecracking gecko that was right. Stuck in the TV world. That's fucking amazing.
He wears a suit or a tuxedo.
Yeah. He had a gi at one point.
Gi.
All that shit, yeah.
It's in the back of the throat. Gi.
Ngi.
Gi.
Ngi.
Anyway, chat, do you have anything you want to say? No, they don't. Look at that. Chat is quiet tonight. Yeah. Nothing happening in chat tonight. So if you're watching this later on youtube.com/dualscreenstv and just ignore the chat. Just ignore all the stuff that's happening down
there. I think
they're
unpacking the hype zone this week. It's just going on between you and me.
There is certainly some packing that's going on.
A lot of packs. A lot of packs. Andy, before we kick it to our housekeeping and end of the show, why don't you tell everybody about our guest this Friday coming up, which they can listen to now if they support us at the $3 tier on patreon.com/NDS podcast.
Yes, we had on Stairway Games talking about Coral Island, which is Stardew Valley and Harvest Moon mixed together in amazingness. And we learned that Indonesia is a huge fan of farming sims. I had no idea that was a thing. Mm-hmm. That they really, really gobbled up down there in that part of the world. They had a huge Kickstarter campaign, almost $2 million raised on that. It looks phenomenal. Has like a Disney-esque art style quality going on. Very deep mechanics. Please check it out. It is a great show. Amazing rapid fire. Really, really good.
It was a great... So the best thing about the show was you could tell they were nervous. They had never done a podcast before.
Right, right.
We would ask questions and there would be at least 8 seconds of silence.
Yeah, it's like
just complete silence. They didn't know who to speak.
Who's going to answer this?
and they weren't prepared we weren't telling them like the basic PR shit. Cause you know how we are. We like to get to know them and get to know the game.
Right.
But once they started to get used to us, and which was probably about 10 minutes in, it was a hilarious show. It really, really funny and informative. And this game's going to be great. Like this game is like, is Disney cartoon. It's 90s Disney Stardew Valley. And you get to learn about why representation is so important to them. And just all sorts of things, the environment, why it's so important to them, how that makes it into the game, in a very clever way. So look forward to that. And again, you can get that right now in early access on patreon.com/NDS podcast for the $3 tier, which you get the pre-show for the show. And you also get, early access. So go do that. Tree bucks. What's $3 a month? You know what I mean? What's $3? You don't got $3? You tell me you don't have $3 right now to go over there to patreon.com/NDS podcast. $3 you don't have.
What you doing?
What you doing over there with your life?
Don't get your $3.
You can't sell the papes on the corner and get $3 and just throw $3 our way? Can you tell us a slow news week? Folks, if you want to follow us on social media, it's very simple to do. You can do it so easily. You go to Twitter and you type in dual_screens. You go to Instagram, type in dual_screens. You go to Twitter or Instagram, type in batchild27, pants guy, or it's perjure. If you want to follow Perjure on Twitch, please do so. twitch.tv/itsperjure. You can follow me on Twitch as well at twitch.tv/batchild. And also don't forget, go to our YouTube channel. All of our shows are on YouTube, including two brand new shows. We have Game Pass or Play, which is going to have a new episode this weekend. And we also have weekly now, every Saturday, we have Dual Screens and Dragons. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are playing Dungeons and Dragons. Taylor and I and a bunch of our Patreon supporters and listeners and friends got together and we have recorded 9 episodes. So every week you're getting that. And if you support us at the $10 tier on patreon.com/NDS podcast, you get each session as a massive chunk as opposed to broken up into episodes and you get it right away. So you can go listen to all of that right now. Session number 2 is going to be going up tonight. And episode 3 is going up on Saturday for YouTubers. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, chat, for hanging out at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit the thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, and leave us a comment below. We love you. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent. to each other.